I'll say please be seated, but I realize most of you already are at home. And as if on cue, the bells ring. As we were gathering tonight, I was talking with Gail and Paul and saying, if back in January, someone had told us what was about to happen and described the year past to us, would we have believed it? Or even if we believed it, would we even conceive it? I mean, in a way, I find that thinking back on the year almost feels surreal. Did that happen? Well, it did. And it was incredibly disruptive. Normal is a word that means less and less for more and more of us. What is that? The year has been devastating for some around the world and disorienting for almost all the rest of us. Ironically, that puts us closer than ever in proximity and solidarity with the story we're telling, with the Christmas story. The Christmas story is nothing if not disruptive from beginning to end. And that is highlighted most clearly in tonight's story. The shepherds are these bit part characters who come on the scene and off and are never heard from again, but for one moment, they are the center of everything. Shepherds depend on things being normal. That is what allows for their life and their livelihood to happen, for the seasons to be normal, for the rains to come and green those brown hills around Bethlehem and grow the grass that brings the sheep out and allows them to pasture and lamb, and so the cycle continues. And there they are, minding their own business. Things are normal. And then this thing happens that is beyond words. Whatever it is, whatever the glory of God is, as the heavens start to rip open and the axis of the earth tilts and everything becomes other than it was, that glory is terrifying. And the message is equally disorienting. I bring you news that the Liberator, the one you've been waiting for, the Messiah, is being born right now over that hill next door. In a feeding trough, by the way. And then the whole sky fills, and all these messengers of God are crying glory. I am not sure what part of that story is more disorienting, the message or the encounter, but taken together, it's all pretty intense. But what happens next is the pivot to the whole encounter. The shepherds go from terror to curiosity. Let's go see this thing, they say. That's not inevitable. They could have said, wow, that was weird. There's one place I'm not going right now. It's Bethlehem. Let's get back to normal as soon as we can. Their let's go see is an echo, it's not accidental, of what the first disciples say when they hear about Jesus. Come and see. Come and see this one. there's a this moment where we are now between terror and curiosity, or put other words to it, but it is that space where normal is if not gone, it's going, and what's next is unknown. Standing on this threshold, in a way, is an extraordinary moment, a moment of choosing, in a way. There's a poem that I first learned when I was living in the monastery decades ago, and it was a pivot for me then, and it comes back to me now this season, by the perceptive poet Adrian Rich, speaking so well about this hinge of decision. It's called Prospective Immigrants, Please Note. Either you will go through this door, or you will not go through. If you go through, there is always the risk of remembering your name. Things look at you doubly, and you must look back and let them happen. If you do not go through, it is possible to live worthily, to maintain your attitudes, to hold your position, to die bravely. But much will blind you. At what cost? Much will evade you. At what cost? Who knows? The door itself makes no promises. It is only a door. She captures for me this pregnant moment of consideration, of trading normal for next. Stepping through that door and saying, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see what is happening, is a one-way passage. The old normal, never be available again. And I would say by grace, usually by the time we know it's not available again, it's too late. We're already in it. We're already into the rapids of the next thing, carried away. So that the next moment is to commit. Like when you're in the rapids, saying, here we go. One of the reasons I stepped into the pulpit for this sermon, first time actually since we closed, is that it was the place I gave my first sermon on the Feast of the Presentation 9 months ago. And the text was another journey of Mary and Joseph. They were headed to Jerusalem on pilgrimage, and they encounter Simeon and Anna, who again disrupt their life with more news. And I used that text to frame what we were about to do together as I was just arriving, as a pilgrimage. And said that as I have traveled on pilgrimage over my adult life, there are these three elements that just keep showing up over and over and over again. And the first is dislocation. For pilgrims, it's intentional, choosing to go out on the road. But it doesn't have to be intentional. It can be given, like it has been for us, that dislocation, that displacement that happens. And I had no idea, of course, what I was talking about. I thought I did. But wow, what a displacement. But the other two pieces of that pilgrimage frame have been equally true, or are becoming true, that dislocation, that displacement, inevitably leads to discovery. When we say, let's go, and trade the normal for the next with Mary's openness, we discover new things about ourselves, about one another, about the world. And that that pattern, that displacement and discovery, over and over again, leads to our destination on pilgrimage, but in life's pilgrimage, destiny. And I suppose you could say that the destiny was there in embryo all the time. The kind of DNA of who we are is going to express itself, but it happens in this pattern of saying, dare I step through the door? Let's do it. Let's go. Let's see what's happening in Bethlehem. It's still too early, I think, to know what discoveries we are making. We're still in the state of deep disruption. But make no mistake, they are being made in our psyche and soul and spirit. That is how growth works. Usually our brains are the last to know. Something is happening. And the time will come when we will start to discern where it's taking us. What is that destiny? Now is the time to hold that as we go. I said at the beginning that the shepherds are the main characters of the story tonight, but there are really two poles of energy. One is this, you know, let's go see action. They take off to Bethlehem. The other is tucked in the corner of the painting, but it's so clearly important. It is framed by a single word, but. It's always an important word in a story, but. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. She left the door ajar. She let that complete dislocating, disorienting, life-changing reality that just kept hitting her in wave after wave after wave. Let it be. Let it be possibility. Not much certainty, but openness. I'm going to reflect more on Mary at the midnight mass, but for now, this might be a good place to leave it, to say that we are standing once again, as we do every year, at the manger, which is a doorway. We're standing at a doorway tonight, able to choose what has been given to us. There's a Buddhist teaching koan that says, what do we say when the great adversities of life come knocking at our door? Welcome. There's some vertigo in that kind of letting go, that receiving, as we contemplate the obvious, that our world, in so many ways, is coming unglued. And also the possibility that God is remaking the world, as God always does, in a profound way, at the edges of our perception, and that we're being drawn into that long journey and that deep rebuild, like a pilgrimage. Each one of us is offered this invitation to step through the door individually. This move that's from the center of the heart. And this is where it gets good, and I'm looking at mostly empty pews, but I'm also looking at a screen full of people from all across the parish, so I can see and feel you all together. This is a community, this community of St. Paul's. And doing something, doing what we all must do individually, together, solidarity, is like threads creating a rope. It creates a strength and resilience and beauty and power that is extraordinary. So, as we continue walking this pilgrimage together, as St. Paul's on the Green, as we unleash through our solidarity this focus and force that leads to greater discoveries and reveals our destiny. Don't be afraid, says the angel. Or be afraid, but don't let it rule you. Stepping through the door makes the unimaginable, the insurmountable, possible, and even fun. We are not alone. Emmanuel, God is with us. That's all it takes to make it through, and to make it home. So let's step through it and see what's happening in Bethlehem.